Welcome to Hope It's Here. My name is Greg Horn, and you know, part of having hope is when you have someone that actually empathizes with you when you are hurting and you just feel like giving up. Yet, if we're honest, most of us don't know what it is really like to empathize with someone. And over the next couple of programs on Hope It's Here, we're going to be talking with someone that's going to help us understand what it's like to have empathy for someone and how you can apply it in your own life. Our guest is Steve Idle. He is the pastoral care pastor at Northeast Christian in Louisville. And man, he recently preached a sermon on empathy as part of their series, Let's Talk About Mental Health. And Steve, before we get to our topic today about how to provide hope through having empathy, I want to ask you about this series that you guys are doing, Let's Talk About Mental Health. Can you share about why you all were doing this series and tell us about it?
Yeah. Hey, first of all, it's good to be with you, Greg. I appreciate this opportunity. We decided last fall here to do a series on mental health, and let's talk about mental health, because it just became very evident to us that the mental health issues that many people are facing in our culture today have reached epidemic proportions, really. I mean, more studies now are saying one out of every four people will at one time in their life struggle with a mental health issue. And by the way, those numbers are just the same for Christians and those inside the church as those outside the church. And so we see so many people struggling with this that we decided just as a church that we were going to take this on. And there was two really big principles that we wanted to communicate to people when we started this last fall, the first round of messages. And that was, number one, we felt like by taking something out of the darkness, meaning mental health issues, which the church had not been dealing with, been kept in the dark for a long time, but by taking them out of the darkness and bringing them into the light, we think there's a spiritual principle. Those things will begin to lose their power when they're taken out of the darkness and into the light. And so we said, let's take this out of darkness, because the church hadn't been talking about it. I couldn't remember a time where I'd heard certainly a series dealing with confronting and dealing with mental health issues. And so that was the first principle that we chose to deal with. And the second one, and I did this in the first week of that series last fall, was to say to people, it's not a sin to struggle. If you're struggling with mental health issues, maybe it's anxiety or depression or suicidal thoughts, you know, it's not a sin to struggle with those things and to try to bring them hope and try to let them know that this is a battle for a lot of people and there is hope through Christ for dealing with those things. So we just really decided to take that on, and the response was just overwhelming. I mean, Greg, I've been doing ministry for over 40 years. I've never seen a response to a series of messages. We did 4 weeks last October, and I never saw a response like we did those 4 weeks, so much so that here just 2 weeks ago, we came back for round two, season two, as we call it, of Let's Talk About Mental Health. So those are the things that really drove us to want to deal with these issues.
Well, it's a great series. I would encourage you to check it out. Steve, what is your all's website?
It's NECC, NEC Church, stands for Northeast Christian, NECchurch.org, and you can get on our website, and all the media is right there, and you can go back to last October. There's four messages, and this weekend we're going to be doing the third in the series of round two, and so we're definitely several weeks into it, but it's been a tremendous response, and we've just seen God renew hope in people, to give them strength and to step up, and more than anything else, say, you know what, the church is a safe place to come and talk about these things, because the church hasn't always been a safe place to talk about those things. I can remember in my past, people would come to me and years and years ago when I was first in ministry and say, I've struggled with depression or anxiety, and my response would be, well, you need to read your Bible more and pray more. And there's certainly elements and spiritual answers to those, but there's also other issues. And we've tried to take a more holistic approach to dealing with mental health issues for people.
Well, it's just been great. I listened to some of the sermons last fall and got to hear yours a couple weeks ago. And one thing, Steve, that I know you're passionate about, we served together at Northeast Christian Church where you were the lead pastor. And you're really passionate about helping men just, you know, understand what it's like to be a godly man in all facets of their lives. And how do you think men overall are doing with being empathetic to others, Steve?
Well, I think, quite frankly, most men struggle with it. I'm going to kind of speak with a broad brush here, but I really do. I think most men struggle with being really empathetic. It just doesn't come natural, but empathy can be developed. It can be cultivated, and it's like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it becomes. And we just, when I was asked to do this series or to speak in the series, I chose empathy, and my reason for doing it was, first of all, I raised four boys, and I know what it was like to try to teach and model empathy for them. But I also noted in a lot of the couples that I work with and counsel with that so many of the men just generally lack empathy to really come alongside their spouse or whoever it might be. For that reason, and also just how many younger adults today struggle with it. In fact, Greg, there was a study done by the University of Michigan that showed college students who graduated from college after the year 2000 are showing a 40% drop in empathy from college students of earlier decades. Now, there could be a lot of reasons for that. We can blame screen time and social media, all that, you know, and I don't want to get into that. But we just felt like those things, for men and for younger adults, it was important to address this topic of empathy.
Well, one of the things, you know, we're talking about today is providing hope through empathy. But, you know, I hear empathy, sympathy. I'm sure there's people like me listening. What exactly is empathy, Steve?
The working definition that we've been using is empathy is the capacity, and that's a key word there. Empathy is the capacity to understand what another person is experiencing from within the other person's frame of reference. Simply put, it's just the capacity to be able to place yourself in another person's shoes. To not just kind of stand on the outside and say, oh, gee, that's too bad, and feel pity for them. And sometimes that's kind of what sympathy can be. It can be kind of like just like pity. But empathy is the ability to make a connection with them and to understand what their struggle is and to have that connect with who you are and give you the ability to just speak in their life whatever way possible to bring them hope in that situation. So there is a big difference between empathy and sympathy. But it's the capacity to understand and to place oneself in another person's shoes.
All right. Well, you had a great quote in your sermon that you talked about. You said, empathy always leads to engagement. Can you kind of expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes, especially as believers, sometimes we can think that if we feel compassion, then that must mean we're a compassionate person. But that's really not the case. Compassion, as well as genuine empathy, isn't genuine until it's expressed. I think people who have empathy will always find a way to engage. They always find a way to step up and engage with other people about what's going on in their life. They're gonna show it, not just say it, if you will. And that's so critical. I told the story in the sermon about watching commercials every night came on for St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And they would tear me up, Greg, those commercials, seeing these sick kids and everything. And I would fight back tears every night watching that and say to my wife, we got to do something. Well, I felt sympathy for them, but it didn't become genuine empathy or compassion until I decided every month I was going to write a check to St. Jude Children's Hospital. And so, you know, the point is this, that when God is in your life and the Holy Spirit moves in you, he'll do more than just touch your heart. He'll move your muscles. And the test of empathy always has to be action, what you do and how you engage. And that'll tell you whether or not what you're experiencing is genuine empathy.
Well, obviously the Bible wants to help us in every area of our life. What's an example in the Bible, an illustration maybe, that teaches us about how to have empathy, Steve?
Well, you know, that's a great question. As I was thinking through this, I really struggled with that and really just decided that probably the best example was the Good Samaritan, a story that I know a lot of us are familiar with, where Jesus was asked, as he was teaching one day on how to love our neighbor, and he was asked, well, who is my neighbor? And he tells us one of the most famous stories ever about a Jewish man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was come upon and beat up and left side of the road bleeding and left for dead. And as Jesus tells the story, a couple of religious elite people drive by or walk by and see it, but they don't engage. They feel for the guy, but they just walk on by. And after the two religious people do that, Jesus throws a huge curveball, and he says, here's this Jewish man laying there, left for dead, and a Samaritan, who we know today as being an Arab, stops and helps this man and engages with him, binds up his wounds, puts him on his donkey, takes him to an inn, pays for his treatment, says, if it costs more, I'll come back and give you more. And I think it's probably the best description of empathy. He didn't walk by and just say, oh, I feel bad for that. I'm going to pray for this guy. Somebody else will help him, but I'll pray for him. No, he didn't do that. He didn't feel sympathy for him. He felt empathy. He engaged, got along next to him, and entered into his world of pain and did what he could to help the man. I think that's the best example that we can find in all of Scripture of what genuine empathy looks like.
Yeah, that's definitely a powerful one. And, you know, it does show the difference that you talked about earlier between sympathize and empathize, because the other people may have sympathized, but by not stopping to help, they didn't empathize.
Absolutely. And we're all guilty of that, you know. And, you know, we don't have the time, and I'm going to pray for them, which is nothing wrong with that, of course. But empathy is going to cause me to stop and say, I'm going to do something. I have to do something. When God breaks my heart like that, when he touches my heart, he's also going to move my muscles. He's going to cause me to engage in some way. And that's just a great example. And, of course, Scripture, there's Scriptures, many that deal with this. You know, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Weep with those who weep. The Bible says, you know, don't just stand on the outside. Don't just observe and feel pity. But get engaged. Step into that person's world of hurt and pain and bring them hope. And that's what genuine empathy does.
You also shared, Steve, in your message on empathy, two quick ways that we can cultivate empathy. Can you share those with us?
Yeah. And there's a lot more to this. In fact, I hope in a different format here at Northeast that someday I'll be able to teach on this a little bit more. But I tried to share two quick ways to talk about ways that we can begin to cultivate empathy in our own life. And number one is very simple. We need just to speak less and listen more. You know, most of us probably speak twice as much as we listen. And sometimes it gets so easy to get caught up explaining something that we really never stop to consider what the other person might be thinking or feeling. But an empathetic person listens first. And they usually only speak after they've taken time to actively listen and really hear what the other person is saying. So that's a good first step. If you want to begin to cultivate empathy, learn just to kind of speak a little bit less and listen actively more to what people are saying. And the second thing is, and this is a big one, after you've heard what the other person said and you really listened to them, you're now in an excellent position to express empathy to them by voicing, tell them how you'd feel if you were in that same situation. And that can be as simple as saying something like, man, that must have been awful, absolutely awful when you went through that. Or maybe you say something like, I wish I could have been there with you in that moment. Or that must have really hurt. And a good way to show empathy is to say, after you listen to him, say, now let me summarize what I hear you saying. See, you're trying to show them that you're not just thinking about what you're going to say. You're genuinely actively listening to them, and you're trying to repeat back to them what you've learned. And then because that person, and Greg, this fits so well with what you're doing in this ministry of Hope is Here, because that person, usually when they come to you and tell you what their struggle is, they're oftentimes without hope. They've lost hope. They don't feel like their life's ever going to be any better or any different. And so before I leave that encounter to show genuine empathy, I always try to speak a word of hope into their life. And it might be something as simple as this. I might say to them, you know what I really admire about the way you're handling this? Then I tell them whatever it is, because I want to give them hope. Because in many cases, they've lost that hope. So to restore that and to give them a fresh vision of hope can be a great way to empathize and minister to them. So that's just a couple quick ways.
Yeah, that's really, really good stuff. We're talking with Steve Idle. He is the pastoral care minister at Northeast Christian in Louisville. We're going to continue our conversation with him tomorrow and give you some ways that you can help provide hope to others by extending empathy. So I hope you'll join us tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Steve Idle about how to extend empathy and provide hope on Hope is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.